On September 9th, 1945, Admiral Jim Stockdale was flying on a mission over North Vietnam when his plane was struck by enemy fire. He ejected. He parachuted into a small village where he was immediately captured and taken to the infamous, quote, Hanoi Hilton, a brutal prisoner of war camp where he remained for more than 7 years. In his widely influential book, Good to Great, Jim Collins described how he had a conversation with Admiral Stockdale. And he was asking Stockdale, how was it that you were able to cope in that POW camp? And he asked him, what didn't work? Stockdale said, well, what didn't work is easy to answer. It was the optimists. Oh, they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas, and Christmas would come and go. And then they said, we're going to be out by Easter, and Easter would come and go. And they died of a broken heart. It's sort of strange because we talk often about the importance of being optimistic. And yet, according to Stockdale, optimism was exactly what they did not need. So what did work? Well, according to Stockdale, this was his strategy. He said, in order to survive, I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining moment of my life. Stockdale pointed out that you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you cannot afford to lose, with the honesty and discipline to confront the brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied about 600 years before Christ came into the world. And he lived in a time when God's people felt like they were prisoners of war. They had been attacked by the Babylonian army, conquered, and they had been carried off into exile. Now, we're not in exile in exactly the same way that God's people were in Jeremiah's day. But Eugene Peterson, the late pastor and author, has said, exile is a place where we do not want to be. And while we're going through COVID, we are in a kind of exile in a sense that we are where we do not want to be. And in order to survive this time, we need to have faith that we will prevail in the end. We need to have the courage to confront the brutal facts of our reality, but we need to believe that we will prevail in the end. And where does that faith, where does that belief come from? It comes from God. And as we conclude our series in Jeremiah today, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 13. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And as Admiral Stockdale and the people of God in Jeremiah's day needed to confront their brutal reality and believe that in the end they would prevail, so as we go through COVID, we need to confront the brutal facts of our reality, but also have faith that with God's help, we will ultimately prevail and even prosper. Now, God says to his people living in exile, in this place where they do not want to be, in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This is a famous and inspiring verse in the Bible, but it's often quoted out of context. These words of promise were originally given when God's people were suffering in exile. In Psalm 137, we read that God's people, while in exile, were by the rivers of Babylon. They were seated and they wept as they remembered Jerusalem and their former way of life. We know that some of the exiles, like Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had been forcibly separated from their families and then carried off to Babylon, where they became despised minorities in their new land. And it is in this place of suffering that God promises to prosper his people. Daniel and a number of his contemporaries and the other exiles were living out Jeremiah's call earlier in Jeremiah 29 as they began to plant gardens, literally or figuratively, as they began to build. In some cases, they got married. Daniel remained single and without children, but others from his community would go on to marry and increase in number. And they began to invest in the social and economic and spiritual fabric of the place to which God had called them. And they prayed for the prosperity of the city to which God had called them. And as the city prospered, they prospered even in exile. Daniel and others prospered in their professional work while in exile. They prospered in their relationship with God and in their character as they grew in patience and in wisdom and in courage. And the exiles show us that no matter how difficult our situation, if God is with us, we can prosper. Viktor Frankl, as you may know, was a Jewish psychiatrist and the author of the classic book, Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl, between the years 1942 and 1945, lived in German concentration camps, including at Auschwitz. When I began reading his book, Man's Search for Meaning, I assumed that given that Frankl was this Jewish psychiatrist, he would have portrayed his fellow Jews in the concentration camps as saints and the Nazi guards as monsters. But as I read that book, I realized that he was giving a much more nuanced account. He describes how some of his fellow Jews in their suffering became very self-absorbed, very self-pitying, very selfish. But some of his fellow people became truly noble as they would give their last piece of bread away. And he described how many of the German Nazi guards were cruel and some were evil through and through. But he also observed that among some of the guards, he saw signs of kindness and even compassion. And he wrote about one situation where a German guard, at great risk to himself, gave Frankl a small piece of bread. And Frankl wrote about how deeply touched he was by that. In Frankl's own words, "It was far more than the small piece of bread which moved me to tears at the time. It was the human something that this man gave me, the words and the look which accompanied the gift." Frankl wrote, "The mere knowledge that a man was either a camp guard or a prisoner tells us almost nothing. Human kindness can be found in all groups, even those which, as a whole, it would be easy to condemn." Now, As you can imagine, it would have been absolutely horrible to be a prisoner in a concentration camp like Auschwitz. It would have been absolutely terrible to be a prison guard in such a place. But even in these circumstances, as a prisoner or as a guard, Frankl observed that some people were prospering spiritually. And no matter how difficult our circumstances are because of COVID, we may feel isolated and confined, or we may be suffering for some entirely unrelated factor to coronavirus. With the presence of God in our life, we too can prosper spiritually. We can flourish as human beings, as we grow as people of patience, courage, wisdom, and love. Dallas Willard was a very respected philosopher and writer on the spiritual life who died several years ago. He once said, "Your circumstances or people do not determine your character or the life that lies endlessly before you in the kingdom of God." Some people have said, you know, COVID has a silver lining for some, and for some folks, the benefits, in fact, have outweighed, you know, the bad things, except, of course, for the people who've actually caught the coronavirus and died. But if a person has placed their lives in the hands of God, in the hands of Jesus Christ, and they have the eternal life of God now and in a world to come, then that person can say with Dallas Willard, "My circumstances, people, do not determine my character or the life that lies endlessly before me in the kingdom of God." And as was true for people in the concentration camp, our circumstances don't necessarily determine who we will become, nor will they affect the eternal life that lies endlessly before us. And Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And what this text is telling us is that no matter what our circumstances, even if we are in a difficult place, God can prosper us in the most important ways. Rick Warren is a well-known pastor and author. Some years ago, he wrote a mega best-selling book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Some of you would be familiar with that title. Some of you have probably read it. And during this season of his life, his reach as an author, his ministry in touching people through his writing was obviously amazing. But right during this very fruitful season of ministry, his wife Kay came down with cancer. And then during another season in Rick's life, when his church was growing and they were adding new sites in Southern California, Rick's young son, Matthew, took his own life. He killed himself. And as Rick reflected on these circumstances, he thought to himself, "I used to think that life was a series of valleys and mountains. You know, I'd go through a hard time in my life but come out of that valley and ascend a mountain, and then I'd go through another hard time and ascend into a dark valley and then come up to a mountain and so forth." But he changed his perspective and he said, "Life is not so much like a series of valleys and mountains. It's more like two rails on a railroad track." He said, "Even if the track seems to be good, there always seems to be another parallel railroad track with something bad. Or if the track seems bad, there is or there will be some other parallel railroad track in our life that brings something good. And maybe you would recognize this pattern in your own life. Maybe you feel like there's a good railroad track running through your life right now. But if you're honest and observant, there's probably something challenging in your life too. If not in your direct life, in the life of someone you love, they're suffering, and so it's hard for you because you care for them. Or if there's a track in your life that's obviously bad right now, chances are there's also a parallel track that has or will bring something good. Maybe you have a person in your life who is a gift to you, or maybe a person will come into your life who becomes a gift to you. Or maybe you have some kind of material provision in your life that you're grateful for, maybe a place to live or enough food to eat. Or maybe that good track is something more spiritual. You sense that through your suffering and adversity, God is cultivating in you fortitude and perseverance and courage and love. And if you have placed your life in the hands of Jesus Christ, the one who died on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven, the one who died on a cross so that everything in your life could be redeemed, then you could know for certainty that God will cause everything in your life to work for your ultimate good. Meaning in the context of Romans 8:28, that he is choreographing everything in your life so that you will be made more beautiful, more like God's Son, Jesus Christ. And even if you don't see it, if you place your life into the hands of Jesus Christ, you can know that there is this parallel track in your life that is bringing good and will bring ultimate good for you. You can know that if your life is in the hands of Jesus Christ, that ultimately you will prevail and you will prosper. You can know that circumstances or people do not determine your character or the life that lies endlessly before you in the kingdom of God. And God says to us through the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And as God offered these words to his people in exile in Jeremiah's day, God was saying, even in your time in Babylon, I'm going to prosper you. And after 70 years, I'm going to restore you back to your homeland. And my plans for you are good, not evil. They aren't plans to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And so, in light of God's good intention for his people, what does he call them to do? In verse 12, he says, "Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." And when we recognize that God is carrying us through our time of COVID, and that he is choreographing everything in our life to work for our ultimate good, for our being made more like his Son, Jesus Christ, then the only really sane response is to do what we are invited to do here in Jeremiah 29, and that is to seek God with all of our heart, with all of our heart. You know, during COVID, we've seen a lot of things close. Things are starting to open up now, but we remember well how at the beginning of coronavirus and for some time, shops were closed, Restaurants were closed, the schools closed, the pools closed, the gyms closed, the churches closed. By the way, we're starting to open up now as a church with small gatherings of 50 or fewer. But we remember those days when so many things were closed. But God is saying to us, even in exile, the door to me is not closed, so seek me with all your heart. Even in exile, even in pandemic, when many things have been inaccessible, I am accessible, so seek me with all your heart. I know a pastor in the San Francisco Bay Area named John Ortberg. John recently stepped down from his post as a pastor at the church he was serving. And as he stepped away, he gave a farewell sermon, a farewell message, in which he said, our society says, dream big, aim high, be great. And that is certainly true in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's certainly true here in Vancouver. And the message to dream big, aim high, be great is good in a number of ways, but it also carries with it a lot of pressure. John said in his farewell message, our society says, dream big, aim high, be great. But I say to you, love God, follow Jesus, and do the next right thing. I don't know that Jeremiah would have said, dream big, aim high, be great. I do know that he calls us through God's word to come to God, to pray to a God who will listen to us, and to seek God with our whole heart. And as we do that, we will find God and be found by God. And so Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So during these days of COVID, confront the brutal facts of your reality. Don't naively gloss over them, but also pray that God would open your eyes so that you would see the ways that he is prospering you, so that you would see that endless track of good that God is bringing.